many Israelis have been killed.
When there was this horrible suicide bombing at the pizza place in Jerusalem, I went to visit some of the kids who survived that blast in the hospital. It was horrible. It was horrible to see what happened to these children.
You see the blood, you see the agony of the family. This is what the world sees. But one cannot take it out of the general context. And the context is of an Israeli occupation which is, it seems not to be so brutal, but it's very brutal. It really makes people's lives unbearable.
The use of suicide bombers is an act of desperation. It's the weapons of the weak.
Israel doesn't do it, never, because it has airplanes and helicopters. Why should they send anybody to make suicide?
I think we have to change our conception of what Israel is. Israel likes to present itself as this little country surrounded by a sea of hostile Arabs, and we just want peace, and they're violent. Israel is the fifth largest nuclear power in the world. It's got between 200 and 300 nuclear warheads. So the reality is that Israel's a regional superpower.
For the first time, the resistance to that occupation had, to a very small extent, an armed component. There was nothing close to equal force.
At every stage, they had used grossly excessive force against a completely defenseless civilian population.
The victims have been overwhelmingly Palestinian civilians, overwhelmingly, not armed groups or armed individuals.
Israel has established all of these checkpoints within the West Bank, which require Palestinians to wait hours and hours to go very short distances.
Just the freedom of movement, it's something that Palestinians are denied on a daily basis. The access to Jerusalem, the access to health care, the access to hospitals, clinics, and schools.
We're talking about 3 million people who's had their freedom of movement totally stopped.
It's a violation of international law, that the right to freedom of movement is a fundamental right in the Declaration of Human Rights. What you have is young Israeli conscripts who look bored. These guys are sitting out there and they're watching thousands of Palestinians go by. They have carte blanche to pull anyone over and harass them for whatever reason. They can detain them for hours, and it's a dangerous situation.
The main population that are being affected by Israeli policies is the civilian population. Those population who is not being involved in any attacks against Israelis, civilians or the army.
During this time of closure, unfortunately, there have been lots of bombings, lots of attacks. The closure is not meant to deter suicide bombers. It's meant to punish and put pressure on 3 million civilians.
People do not earn anymore because the majority of the Palestinians used to work in Israel, and the majority of the Palestinian economy was based on the income of people who were working inside Israel. Now they cannot go into Israel, so tens of thousands of families just lose the source of income that they had. The education system is also affected by that. The student cannot go to the university.
Bir Zeit University was subject to army closures for something like 18 times. The longest closure was during the First Intifada. For 5 years, we could not set foot on campus. During this period, we organized what the Israeli army called cells of illegal education. We were teaching in apartments, in rented flats, in churches, in mosques, in gardens, in cars, and we kept our infrastructure. Even this attempt To minimize the damage and to keep the university going, they attempted to crush it.
I went to college in the States and I found it very differently. Your biggest worry about in the States is if I'm going to pass my class or, oh, I hope I have a lot of friends. Over here, it's totally different. You have to worry, oh my God, would I be able to get to school? Is there going to be a checkpoint? Is there going to be a demonstration? Am I going to get shot at? Is there going to be tear gas? So it's completely different.
Here, it's just you don't know if you're going to live or you're going to die, you know? You're going to school as if you're going to fight a war. Don't find a tank in the middle of the road on your way to college.
And just the other day, there were two tanks in an army jeep, and they're standing there checking your passport and, you know, your student visa and all this stuff. And it's just we want to get to school. We want an education. Where are you? We're humans, and we have a right to our education.
And in places like the United States, people cannot understand what's going on because simply the experience is beyond their frame of reference.
I can't study at night because my bedroom light is going to be open and across the street from their settlement. They shot at me. I was reading my biology book. I was studying for my midterm. And my mom and dad are no, get out of the room. Because they started shooting. I was no, mom, I want to get an A in the class. Let me study. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden you hear something on my bedroom window. Okay, maybe I should go downstairs. I couldn't study for my test. It's I tell my American friends, do you understand what I'm going through?
The amazing thing is not that you have cases of suicidal students. The amazing thing is the bulk of them, they try to carry on in the middle of this mess as if life is normal, as if they want to celebrate their graduation and they want to build their life and they want to carry on. That's the other part of the coin. The root problem here is occupation. Everything else emanates from there.
The most severe problem is people who need medical care.
We've documented numerous cases where people have died. In fact, I believe that one of the last cases we documented was a woman who was in labor, who was not allowed to get to the hospital, and she and the baby both died.
If people like that, if people who are really sick and really need to go to hospitals cannot do that, so I think you can imagine what happened to regular people that just want to go to work, just want to go to do some shopping, or even just visit friends.
It's like living in a prison, a gigantic prison.
Haaretz, the intellectual newspaper in Israel, ran a whole, a four-page magazine article on the refugee issue. It had a picture of Tel Aviv University now, and what was there before Tel Aviv University? A Palestinian village.